remember as a teenager, I really wanted a guitar. And I bugged my parents about it long enough. On one of my birthdays, that's what they got me. They got me my very own guitar. And if you can think back to all the times you've joined us for worship in here, how many Sundays do you remember me standing back there with James in the band playing my guitar? Zero, if you're thinking about it. I've asked, and he won't let me. And it's legit. I don't know how to play the guitar. As a kid, I tried. Right? I picked it up. I tried to learn some basic things. I sat down. I did what I thought I needed to do. And after a little while of trying, I set the guitar down, and I never picked it up again. And when I think back on it, here's what happened. On a big picture scale, I don't understand music, right? I don't understand the chords and the charts. I can't read music. I don't understand how it's written on the page. I don't have rhythm. I don't understand rhythm. I just don't get, like, from a big picture perspective, how music works, right? And how all of that stuff comes together. And so as I picked up that guitar, I was trying to make music, not understanding it, I got to this place where I just got frustrated every time I picked it up, and I thought, I'm not getting it, I'm not progressing in this, I'm not really learning anything with this, and so I just set it down, and I didn't pick it up, and that's understandable, right? We're all that way. Without a basic understanding of what's going on with what we're trying to learn or trying to accomplish, we're just not going to stick with it very long. And as I've talked to people, here's what I've found. That's one of the main reasons why people don't pick up and read their Bible on a consistent basis. They begin to flip through it, and they begin to read, and they begin to think things like, man, I don't understand what I'm reading. And time again, when people that go to churches are polled on this, they'll say, listen, maybe I have trouble reading consistently because I get to a part and I don't really understand it, and so I sort of set it down and walk away. Or I get to a part that intimidates me because I don't see how it fits into the bigger picture or the whole, or I can't understand or pronounce the names or the locations or the places, and they begin to feel like, man, I'm trying to read, but I'm not getting anything out of it. I'm not learning anything from it. And when they feel like that, they sort of think like me with that guitar. They think, what's the point? And they put it down. And that's not good, right? But because it's in our Bibles that we have the very words of God, revealing the very heart of God, right? It's in our Bibles that we learn who God is. It's in our Bibles that we're introduced to Jesus, right? We base our life, we base our eternity, we base our concept of heaven and what's going to happen to us when we leave this place on what the Word of God says. If that's the case for you, man, then you and me, we should be consistently filling our minds and our hearts with the words that fill the Bible. Right, and so this morning, that's what we're going to talk about, reading the Bible, filling our minds and our hearts with what God says. If you've got a copy, open with me to Matthew 28. We're going to be in verses 19 and 20, those two verses right there at the end of Matthew. And as you turn, just remember, as a church family, we have three focused priorities that drive who we are together as a church family. And the first is we want to make disciples. Right? That's what Jesus told us to do. We're going to see that this morning. We want to love our community. Right? Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Right? That's second only to loving God. And then third, we want to be a church that strengthens the church. Right? We want to come alongside other churches and grow them up as well. So this morning, right, as we consider that first one, what it looks like to make disciples, think about this question. Is it even possible to make disciples without the Bible being a major part of it? Wow. If the goal is to make disciples of Jesus, the answer is no. And by the way, that is the goal, right? For me and you to be growing disciples of Jesus who are helping other people also to become growing disciples of Jesus. And if you're wondering about the word disciple, right, it's just a disciple of Jesus is someone that follows Jesus and who does what he says, right? That is our call, and we should be encouraging others to do that as well. Matthew 28, verse 19. These are the words of Jesus to his disciples. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. It's a very clear command that God has given everyone that follows Jesus, right? We are to go and make disciples. And then it goes on to say, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. If you're a follower of Jesus, you see here that you should be inviting other people to trust in and follow Jesus as well. And it starts with sharing the gospel, right? The good news that Jesus made a way for our sins to be forgiven, for us to be in a right relationship with God. And where do we find that good news to share? The Bible. We're not making it up. Right? It's His words. It's not our words. Reading the Bible matters. Right? You and I, we don't know Jesus without what the Bible tells us about Jesus. And then when someone trusts in Jesus, becomes a follower of Him, and then they're baptized, you saw that this morning just a minute ago, but when they're baptized, what's next? Look back at the words of Jesus. Look at verse 20. Right? So they've trusted in Him. They've been baptized. What do we do now as we come alongside them? Well, we teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded, right? We teach them, we tell them what is in the Word of God and how to live according to the Word of God. That there's no evidence, if you read the New Testament, if you look at the church in the Bible, there's no evidence of faithful believers apart from the Word of God, right? Believers in Jesus, disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, are people that live out the words of Jesus. And so, the natural sort of conclusion there is for us to be and do what God has called us to be. We have to know, we have to share the Word of God. It's how we learn, it's how we get stronger, right? Bible reading, major factor of our spiritual growth. Some of you made a resolution in 2024. You wanted to get stronger, like physically. You wanted your body to be in better shape. You wanted to build up strength. You know that can't and won't happen without the struggle, right? Like some physical strain on your muscles. You have to go to the gym. You have to lift weights. You have to do something. Strength doesn't come without work. You can't take a nap on a weight bench and think you're going to get physically stronger. And in the same way, you can't leave your Bible unopened, shoved under your pillow, and think that you're going to grow and gain any knowledge of the Word of God spiritually. You have to open up. You have to read it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. It's a fascinating verse. I want you to think about this. Paul wrote this to the gathering of Christians in the city of Ephesus, right? So he wrote it to a church family. Right, and this letter became a part of the Word of God. It's in the New Testament, the book of Ephesians. Look what he says. He says, when you read this, he says, when you read the Word of God, he says, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. He's saying by reading, you and me, right, we can get a glimpse of the mystery of Jesus. And most of us can do this, okay? They taught me to read very well at A&M. Some of you didn't know Aggies can read. We got it down, okay? And listen, reading's not this extraordinary grand thing, is it? For most people, reading is a pretty attainable thing. Reading is not reserved or blocked off for a select few of people. And here's where I'm going. Right, God uses something so ordinary. God uses something so ordinary and simple in our lives, like reading, as a method of experiencing something extraordinary. Right, through reading, we see the glory of Jesus. Through reading, we discover, we get a glimpse of the unsearchable riches of our Heavenly Father. Well, Ephesians 3, 4, we get insight into Jesus and who He is simply by reading. Well, when it comes to reading the Bible, and specifically that verse, John Piper says, it's as if Paul said, you can fly by sitting, or you can be on the top of Mount Everest by breathing, or you can break the sound barrier by walking. He says, by reading, we see divine glory. By the most ordinary act, we see the most wonderful reality. And a surge of joy goes through me when this hits home. Listen, but by reading, listen, a surge of joy should go through all of us when we understand what's possible by the simple act of reading. we develop a deeper understanding of the glory, of the love, of the grace of God in our lives. And listen, let me just tell you that time as a believer doesn't grow us, right? Time as a believer, it doesn't mature us. As we get older, it doesn't mean that our faith does, right? 2024, all of us are going to get a year older. Right, a year older physically in our bodies. We are going to mature. We are going to grow up. Some of us are excited about that. Some of us aren't excited about that, but that's just the reality. A year older. I was at the baseball field with my kids yesterday. A few hours of swinging the bat, my elbow hurts today, okay? It's an unfortunate sign of physical maturity. My body, it's aging and growing up every single day. It's going to happen whether I do anything about it or not. Our faith isn't like that, though. All right, that maturity in our faith comes as we seek Jesus. That maturity in our faith comes as we spend time in prayer. That maturity in our faith comes as we gather and worship as a church family. That maturity in our faith comes as we open and read and discover the words of Jesus. It's not going to happen with time. It's going to happen as we look to Jesus. Listen, there's a warning that's written to a group of believers in the New Testament. Right, you can find it in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. And it's written to a group of people that should have, over time, matured in their faith. That they should have grown. They should have been at a place where they were helping other people now become disciples and followers of Jesus, right? As they were teaching other people about what Jesus said, but they weren't. Listen to what it says, Hebrews 5:11. It says, "About this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, because you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you should be a teacher, but you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God." It says you need milk, not solid food. Right? The verse says these people were dull of hearing. They weren't taking in the word of God. They weren't listening to the commands of Jesus. They weren't growing as disciples themselves. And so if they weren't growing, they certainly weren't able to do what Jesus has called all of us to do as his disciples, right? They certainly weren't in a place where they were able to help other people grow in their relationship with God. Listen, well, we've got to be people that read the Bible and really, really read it. You might be thinking, why? Why do I need to read it? And if you're thinking that, just know that I'm a little discouraged because I feel like I've answered that question already, okay? But to recap it and put it very simply, we read the Bible to know God. We read the Bible to see his heart and to grow in our love for God, our relationship with God. We read the Bible to experience and see the glory of God. As we read the Bible, we're filled with this peace and joy and fulfillment. As we read the words of God, will we abound in hope. And we become the disciples of Jesus that he talks about in Matthew 28:19-20, the disciples of Jesus that can help other people grow and become disciples of Jesus as well. What we read, right, when we fill our minds and our hearts with the words and the knowledge and the love of God. Think about it like this. I'm sure you've said, or you've heard other people say, I just got to sit down, and I've got to read my Bible today. I'm going through a lot. I've got to get my daily dose to get me through the day. You've heard that. Maybe you've thought that, and that's fine. That's okay, and that's right. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable. It's useful for teaching, correction, for reproof, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, complete, thoroughly ready for every single good work, right? So to think about reading your Bible to allow you to do what God's called you to do in the day, that's right. It's there in the Word of God, but I want you to think about it another way as well. You're not only taking out, right? It's not only a debit. You're not only getting what you need for the day. When you read the Bible, think about it like this. You're making a deposit into your mind and into your heart. You're depositing the Word of God, the heart of God, the knowledge of God, the love of God, the joy of God. You're putting that in you. And as you read the Bible consistently, you're making these consistent, regular deposits into your mind and into your heart. Think about what small deposits turn into over a period of time. Think about the way those deposits in your life will grow as you consistently keep that up. Before you know it, you'll be this person that has built up this incredible knowledge and appreciation of the love and the heart of God. And it's going to happen in your life from small and faithful and regular deposits. Read the Word of God. Not just in here. Read it consistently throughout the week. Study after study has shown that if you'll consistently read the Bible, and they've defined consistent in most of these studies as at least 4 times per week, and right now doesn't count, right? 4 times per week on your own. Yeah. Life groups isn't one and worship isn't two. That's not 1, 2, okay? Consistently through the week. And these studies, they take people into consideration 8 years old to 80 years old. Your kids can read the Bible. Read it with them, okay? Here's what happens, right, in people's life when they do this. They'll put it on the screen, but loneliness drops by a quarter, 38%, anger by 32%, bitterness in these relationships that you've got with friends or a spouse, or significant other, man, it drops by 40%. The struggle with alcohol by 57%. A struggle with pornography drops, and 61% of the people that read their Bible consistently at least 4 times per week. And then on the flip side of all those, people share their faith at a rate of 200% more as they begin reading their Bible 4 times per week. People disciple other people. That's what we're talking about, right? Matthew 28, 19, and 20, a disciple that's discipling other people. Man, that goes up by 238% as you read your Bible consistently. Think about why. You're putting the Word of God into your life. And as you make those deposits into your life about what God says, guess what? You begin to do it, right? You grow in your love relationship with Him. He changes your worldview. He changes how you see and process and live and think and act as you fill your mind and your heart with His Word. Every one of us is going to live a certain way, right? The heaviest influence on us, and that gets our mind, our heart, our life. Consistently be in the Word of God. I read a quote this week from a believer who spent years not consistently reading the Word of God. She was one of those people I described at the beginning, and she would start to read, and she would think, I don't get it, so what am I doing here? Or she would go back to the same places over and over again because she felt comfortable there. And she came to this point in her life. And I'm going to share her quote in a minute. And as I read her quote, if you connect with it and say, that's me, that is exactly how I feel, let me just tell you, she's already got the solution to how she felt. Right? So much so that she wrote a book to help other people get to a place where they are reading the Bible consistently as well and understanding it and apply it to her life. I'm going to talk about her book in a minute, but here's what she said. She said, I spent years trying to build my life around a book that I hadn't read about a God I didn't know. She spent years trying to build her life on what this says, and she realized, I haven't read it. I don't know what it says. I know bits and pieces of it. I know parts of it. I know the verses that are talked about a lot at church, but I don't know the whole story. And she realized that in the whole story, I mean, that's where she gets a glimpse of God. Right? Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, we've got to know and understand the words of Jesus. We've got to live the words of Jesus. We've got to teach other people the words of Jesus. If we're not, what are we doing? Got to read the Bible, right? So you might be thinking, how? And the good news is this. We could spend hours here, and we will, because the Texans played last night. We don't have to worry about kickoff today. Just kidding. There's a clock on the back wall. We're going to be good. You'll be good. But here's the deal. You might be thinking, how do I read the Bible? Listen, I've got a list. Take some notes here. If you don't normally take notes on this. The first thing you need to do is this. You need to remember why you're reading the Bible, right? The goal when we open up the Word of God is to know and love God, right? That's what Jesus said above everything else, that the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. May we love God and we fall in love with Him more and more and more as we read His Word and know His heart. That's why we read the Bible. It's not to check a box. It's not to win an argument. It's not to make someone else happy or to store up knowledge and get puffed up and proud. It's not to be a Pharisee or to be critical of other people and the way they live their lives. The reason that we read the Bible is to know and love God. And as we know and love God, right, as we see His worth, His beauty, His glory, the natural result in our life is love and it's worship and it's obedience. Remember the why, to know and love God. There's going to be times in your life where you're tired, times in your life where you're busy, times in your life where you're frustrated by your circumstances and situations, times in your life where you might be angry at God and what's going on in your life. There might be times in your life where you are ashamed at what's going on in your life and you think, I'm not where, I can't pick up that right now. Listen, if you remember the why, to know and love God, then even in those seasons, you will pick it up. And you'll continue to go through the word, right? First, remember the why. Second, right, develop a daily plan for reading the Bible. You've heard this phrase, finish the sentence for me, right? Failing to plan is planning to resolutions without plans or dreams. A desire to read the Bible without a plan to actually do it, it is not going to get you very far. Develop a plan. There's two parts of your daily plan that are non-negotiable when it comes to this. Man, set a time, right? Set a time. Figure out when you're going to do it and just do it. Put it on the calendar. Set an alarm on your phone. Figure out your day, your rhythm, and just get it done. And if you're thinking, I don't have time for that in my schedule, just like to lovingly say, you're wrong. You do have time in your schedule. You prioritize what matters to you. Right? Make it a priority. I was talking to Lewis this week about this, and here's what he said is true for his life. It might be true for yours as well. He said, if he doesn't read first thing in the morning, then his schedule gets carried away. His day gets carried away. His phone calls get carried away. The demands on his life get things carried away, and he doesn't go back to picking it up. He's got to do it first thing because he knows his rhythm and his day. That's probably true of a lot of us. Carve out the discipline there if that's true for you. Do it before work. Do it before you pick up the phone. Do it before the kids wake up and start going nuts, right? Set your time, and once you've set your time, set your place. Free of distractions, settle in, read the Word of God, right? Number three, right, after you've got your daily plan, the next thing that you need to do, you need to develop a Bible reading plan, right? When you show up at your time and your place with your copy of the Word of God, you've got to have thought about, have a plan for how you're going to read. And I'm going to walk you through a very practical reading plan this morning. I want to encourage you to take notes here. I'm going to find a way to send this out or maybe print it out and have for next week. 20 or 30 people caught me after the service. I've already got texts and emails saying, can you print that out? You were going too fast. I couldn't get it all down. All right, do your best to keep up, but I'm going to get it out to you as well. And I think they asked because it is so hands-on and practical and easy to follow if you're wanting to make this a consistent discipline. But before I share it, I want to get in your head for a minute. You're one of three people in here. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, okay, this is helpful. Because I know I need to read. I know what this will do with my walk with the Lord if I just get on it and do it, but I've had trouble getting in that rhythm and finding out how and just really starting. So you're thinking, I'm excited, I'm going to take notes, I'm going to do this. If you're thinking that, I promise you, if you do this year, if you are consistent in the Word of God, you'll be a completely different person in your walk with Jesus at the end of 2024. I promise you that. You might be a person that's in here thinking, okay, I've been consistently doing this for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40. You might be thinking, this is a little basic. I'm sort of beyond this. If you're thinking that, listen, I just want to encourage you and affirm you, continue to read the Word of God, right? It's absolutely amazing. But don't forget what Jesus said in Matthew 28, 20. As growing disciples, we should be teaching other people the Word of God too. So let me just ask you, who are you walking through the Bible right now? Who are you sitting down with, helping understand the Word of God. In the first service, in that middle section right there in front of that TV, in front of the camera, there's a lady sitting there. She's in her 80s. She's widowed. She's got a friend that she met out in the community. She brought to church a month ago. This friend trusted in Jesus as her Savior. She's 40 years younger. And after the service, they caught me, and the lady said, "I've been reading my Bible for a while. I'm teaching her how." And her friend had a big smile on her face, and she said, "I'm learning how," right? She's helping me read the Bible. If you've been reading consistently, you've been making deposits, right? You've got an unbelievable treasure and resource in your mind and heart of the Word of God. And pass it on to the people around you in your life. That's what God called us all to do. Matthew 28:20, pass it on. Or you might be a third person this morning. The only thing maybe you've heard me say so far is the Texans are in the playoffs. And you might have been thinking about that and dwelling on that all morning. If that's true, and you haven't listened to much, zero in right now. Right? Take these notes and do what I'm about to lay out next, and I promise you. God's going to do something in your life that you never could have imagined. Right? First, developing that reading plan. But the first thing you've got to do is figure out where you're going to start. If you're not currently reading, our church is starting a Bible reading plan tomorrow. You can text devotional to 77069. They've got it on the screen. You can scan the QR code on the back of your seat, and it'll loop you into our church-wide devotional through the book of Acts. One chapter of Acts a day for the next 28 days, and we'll have completed the book of Acts. You'll get an email early in the morning to pull you along. It's easy to follow, one chance per day. Having a plan, knowing where you're going to start when you sit down, is critical to you continuing to read and being consistent reading the Word of God. If you work out on a regular basis, if you go to a gym, you probably met a lot of new people the first week of January, didn't you? And you saw them walking around, and they weren't really sure what to do, and they didn't really know where to go, and they looked at the machines, and they looked at the stuff. They walked into that place without a plan. Listen, I know it's real. I've been that person. I am that person, right? They have the best of intentions. They're not going to stick with it because every time they walk in, that they don't really know what they're doing, and they don't really have a starting point. Determine where you are going to start. Read this Acts plan with us. When it ends, here's a few other great plans that you could jump on. Don't do all of them at once. Pick one. On the screen, there's a link to the YouVersion Bible app. If you have the YouVersion app on your phone, it's a great app. If you don't have it, download it. Get it on your phone. This plan right here is 100 days. It starts at the beginning of the Bible, at creation. It goes through the second coming of Jesus in Revelation, and it hits 50 high points on the timeline of Scripture, 50 from the Old Testament, 50 from the New Testament. I've walked a lot of people through this plan over the years, and so many of them have said it gave them a significantly greater picture, right, understanding of the Bible as a whole. It's a great reading plan for you to start with. Here's another plan. I mentioned this earlier, the Bible recap. This is a great plan. There's a Bible reading plan that goes through the whole Bible with this, and one that goes through just the New Testament with this. And as you read the Word of God that's lined out for you each day, you can come back to this and get a recap of it. It tells you what you've read. It answers questions. It helps you follow through as you go along. There's a podcast that goes with it. So you can read, and then on your way into work, you can listen to the podcast for that day to get it down what you're doing. It's a great, great reading plan. If you've got a student in your home, I gave this to my sixth grader. It's fantastic. It just came out last fall. I was dying to get my hands on it. It walks them through day by day. Right there's a deal for each day. It walks them through the Bible, and it helps them see and understand what the Bible is as one big story of God's love for us. It's called God's Great Story by John Nielsen. If you've got a teenager in your home, I'm telling you, get this for them. It'll be great helping them develop that daily walk with Jesus, right? When you sit down, have a place to start, right? Don't close your eyes and flip through. I'm going to be here today, right? I'm telling you, have a place to start. And when you open it, here's the plan. Here's how you can do it. If you don't have a plan, let me suggest one, right? I want to encourage you to grasp the Bible, right? Grasp. There's an acrostic that goes with this, right? They're going to have it on the screen behind me. The G stands for get ready. It just means pray. When you sit down and open the Word of God, pray. Psalm 119, 18 says, "Open my eyes, O God, so that I may see the wonderful things of your word." Just pray that. So you sit down, "God, I'm going to open your word. Help me get it. Help me understand it. Through the Holy Spirit, speak to my heart today, God." Get ready. The R stands for read, right? The glorious things that we see in the word of God through the simple task of reading. Get ready and then read. As you read, analyze. Right? Have you ever been at a spot where you were reading the Bible or reading another book and you sort of had this, you snapped out of it, you're like, "I just read two pages, I don't remember a thing that I read. I don't know what this was about." You're daydreaming, you're off somewhere else. We've all been there, okay? When you read the Word of God, read it in a way where you are seeking to understand it. Analyze it. Think about what you are reading. Psalm chapter 1 says that we will be blessed when we do that. "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he dwells a day, and or he meditates on it day and night." That chapter goes on to say when we do that, when we think about the Word of God, we become strong, we become useful, we become fruitful in our lives when it comes to discipling other people. Think about, analyze the Word of God. You may be thinking, what does that mean? Here's how you can do it. For me, the best way is to ask questions as I go, right? Here's a list of questions on the screen. We don't have time to explain them fully today. You could take a picture of these. You can write these down. But as you read the Word of God, I mean, just look. You know, are there promises in here that I need to be aware of as I read today? Are there sins in here that I'm called to stay away from as I read this today? Are there examples for me to follow? Are there commands? Are there teachings from Jesus that I've got to learn and commit to heart? Listen, ask questions as you read the Bible. Really, really think about it. It helps us understand. If you've ever read and then put the Bible down and said, "Well, I didn't get anything out of that today. I don't really understand what I read." First, let me remind you, you're making that deposit. Right, that faithful deposit. You're putting the Word of God in your heart. And then second, and if you've ever felt that way, begin asking yourself some of these questions. I mean, write this down on a card, put it in your Bible. And little by little, right, you're going to grow in your relationship with Jesus. Right? I love this Bible because it's really compact and I can carry it around anywhere. It's my workout goal right here, just lifting this thing up. I like this Bible because it's got blank pages all throughout it. And as I read, I can make notes in here. I can ask myself questions in here. I can write that stuff down in here, right? And in the blanks, it helps me analyze and think about what I'm reading in the Word of God, right? Write these questions down. Here's some other questions. They'll put them on the screen to help us remember that this is about God and not us, right? What we think about, what does God say or do here? Just think about Acts chapter 1, right? That's in our Bible reading plan tomorrow. What does God say or do in Acts chapter 1? Well, he sends the Holy Spirit to be with believers, right? He tells believers to go and be witnesses for him, to make disciples for him everywhere we go. Well, we know that's what God says and does. What does it reveal about what God loves? It reveals that God loves people because he's sending the disciples all around the world, right? And on and on and on. It helps you pull out from the Word of God, right, what God is trying to tell us. Questions like this, they're important. The questions that you ask when you read the Bible, it directly impacts the wisdom and knowledge and the love and the mercy of God that you get. Remember, reading, we're not checking a box. We're not just trying to get the day done. This is an invitation, an opportunity to love and to see the glory of God and draw close to him, right? Analyze the Bible as you go. As you analyze, right, after you analyze, store, right? Store it up. That just means memorize verses as you go. Psalm 119, 11. "I've hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you." Hide it in your heart. Tomorrow, our reading plan, we're in Acts chapter 1. Here's the homework. In addition to your reading, a professor now, in addition to your reading, memorize Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Right? Memorize Acts 1:8. Life group leaders, man, send this out to your life groups, right? Talk about it in your class. Moms and dads, do it with your kids. Invite a friend into this. Hold each other accountable. Memorize the word of God. Acts 1:8. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. Store it in there. Hide God's word in your heart. And then finally, once you've read it, analyzed it, stored it up in your head and in your heart, don't forget to actually go and do it, right? The P stands for practice. The Word of God, it transforms our minds and hearts. The Word of God, as it's in us, it transforms us and allows us to understand the will of God in every aspect of our life. We've got to actually live it out. You ever told your kids to do something and they ignored you and didn't do it? I've never experienced that. Instant obedience from my kid. I'm just kidding. Many times I've experienced that. I experienced that in the last service. My 7-year-old was right there because his buddy was getting baptized. And as I talked about that, he argued with me from there while I was up here. We're working on that obedience thing, right? I tell my kids sometimes, I don't tell you guys this stuff just to hear myself speak. I really do mean what I say. I can assure you that God means what he says in his word. In the book of James, we read that if we simply read the words of the Bible and then don't go live the Bible, we've deceived ourselves. We think, hey, man, I'm good. I heard a sermon or I've read my Bible. I'm good now. That's deception. Right? We've got to actually live out what it says. Jesus says in the gospel several times. You know what he says? He says, those that listen and obey, they're truly my disciples. They're truly my followers. When we read God's word and see how he's called us to live in marriage or raising kids or in our job or in our work or in our finances or with any kind of decision or situation that we are walking through, God's word speaks to all of it. Well, we see that when we read it and understand it, his plan is for us to go and live it, right? 2024, grasp the word of God. Get ready, read it, analyze it, store it, and then practice it. Go live it out. If you're not currently reading your Bible, write it down, right? Use this as a plan. If you are reading your Bible, then write it down. Use it as a plan to help other people begin reading their Bible as well. And don't forget what's available by the simple, ordinary task of reading, right? We see the divine glory of our Heavenly Father. Let's read our Bibles this year. Would you pray with me? As our heads are bowed, I just want to encourage you, just where you're at this morning, say, God, help me to read this year, to grow in my relationship with you. Say, God, don't make it a chore. Don't make it an obligation. God, help me not to be in a position where I'm checking a box. God, help me read, to know you, to love you more. God, to see the world like you've called me to see the world, to live my life like you've called me to live my life. God, help me to be in your word. If you're consistently in the word, say, God, help me to teach others and walk with others, get them in the word as well. If you're here this morning and you know that as you look in the word of God, you see that he loves you so much, he sent Jesus so that you could be in a right relationship with him, and you're thinking, you know what, I've never done that. I want to encourage you to do that today. Visit us in our prayer room here in just a minute. If you saw those three baptized earlier today and you're thinking, you know what, that's me, that's my next step, then visit us in our prayer room in just a minute. If you're here and 2024 has already thrown you some curveballs and you need someone to pray with you, over you, visit us in our prayer room in just a minute. It's right at the back of the worship center on the left-hand side as you're leaving. There's guys there now that the door's already open. Man, we'd love to pray with you this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for your word, for the access we have to your word. God, and everybody in the world today has that. God, we thank you for the access we have. God, I pray that we would steward the access we have, that we'd use the opportunity you've given us with your word to love you more, to grow in a relationship with you, God, to where we get to the point where we're teaching other people what it looks like to know and to love you as well. God, help us to grow this year, to love you more. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.